Well, good morning. Luke chapter 12. If you have your Bibles with you, please open them with me to Luke chapter 12. This morning, we're going to do something very, very strange. After we're done talking, we'll have some people come up and they'll tell some of their stories and just for a second. And then we will head out to towards the water. And we'll wade out in the water about this deep. I'll take six volunteers out there with me. And we'll say some words, and then I'll grab one of them by the face, and I will dunk them all the way underwater. Not kind of underwater, not just splash them a little bit, but I'll grab them by the face and totally submerge them. And then I will pull them back up, and you will cheer. And they won't be mad. They'll be happy about it. That is strange. I mean, if you've never seen a baptism before, the way we do it, or you've never heard of it before, it's just a really different thing. So what I think we should do this morning is explain what in the world a baptism is and why we do it. So the plan this morning is to talk first about Jesus' baptism, because we really have to start with Jesus' baptism before we can understand our baptism. And then we'll talk about our baptism, and then we'll talk about next steps like membership, where our baptism would lead. So I'd like to ask Betsy to come on up. Betsy's going to read some scripture for us. And while she is coming up, I need 8 volunteers to come up and sit in these chairs. So I need 8 volunteers. Yeah, come on up, buddy. So you don't have to ask, just come on up. You're going to have to sit here the whole time, though. You just got to know it. You're just going to have to sit here the whole time. It does not involve water, not at this point. Okay. Here you go. We have 2. How about Sam and Titus? Asher?
I can sit down if you want.
Well, I how about you go keep mom company, okay? Make sure mom behaves. Thanks, man. I just don't know about people that are under, 3 sitting up in front of everyone the whole service, eh? Make me nervous. Okay, so chapter 12. Remember, we're talking about Jesus' baptism. That's where we're starting. So we're starting with Jesus' baptism in order to understand our baptism. And I'd like you to be thinking about next steps this morning. So, Betsy, go ahead and listen. Okay, listen, as she's reading this, if you really listen to this, really listen to the words that she's reading that Jesus said, you won't like it. You'll listen to these words that Jesus said and go, no, I don't think Jesus said that. That doesn't sound like Jesus. It should make you uncomfortable when you hear what Jesus said in Luke chapter 12, beginning in verse 49, because Jesus is warning people about the judgment to come, the judgment of 70 AD, but also the final judgment at the end of all things. He's warning them, and he's not mincing words, and it is a bracing warning. That's the context of the chapter. Now he's going to talk about his baptism. So Betsy, go ahead.
Okay. I came to send fire on the earth. How I wish it were already kindled.
Okay, stop. All right, so Jesus says, I came to bring fire on the earth. So when we think of fire, we think of judgment, both destroying like the dross and the stuff, the impurities, but also refining the people of God. So Jesus is saying, I came to bring fire and judgment. All right, go ahead.
But I have a baptism to be baptized with.
Okay, stop. We are in Luke chapter 12. Where was Jesus baptized in Luke? Somebody who knows. In the Jordan River, and it was much earlier. I mean, he's already been baptized, right? So what's Jesus talking about? I hear all kinds of answers, and I think you're all right in one way or another. But yes, it's his death, and when he dies, then his people will be baptized. And there, that's when the Holy Spirit will come. So you're all right in that sense. But right, he's referring, looking forward to his sacrificial death that is coming. Okay, so go ahead and start in verse 49 and give us, read it all the way through, Betsy, so we have context. Did you hear that? Jesus says, I didn't come to bring peace. I came to bring division. And then he goes through and tells just how divided everything will be. And some of you are like hearing the daughter-in-law, mother-in-law part and going, well, right? But what is Jesus talking about? Well, here's what I think he's talking about. I think he's talking about, remember, he's the context of the passage is he's warning them about the judgment to come. Because all of society, all of humanity, it's all been this one long line. It's been heading off a cliff. He's trying to get their attention, and it's this bracing warning where he's saying, listen to me. The judgment is coming. You're headed in the wrong direction. You're headed on the path of destruction. You need to repent right now, and it will change everything. He's doing everything he can to get their attention, saying this will bring division if you repent, if you change directions. So I need every other person here. So the twos are going to pick up their chair and move. So one, two, one, two, one, two, one, two. Okay, so the twos, I want you to pick up your chairs and come over here and set them up on this side, heading this way. Okay, set them up in a line going this way. Okay, good. So now what we're looking at, now what I'm trying to paint for you visually is the people who, what we talk about when we talk about repentance is turning. So the people were heading in one direction on the path of destruction. What Jesus is trying to help them do, because the day of judgment is coming, is repent or turn from the path that leads to destruction to the narrow way that leads, it's on the path of righteousness that will lead them to heaven. Now, if you family or in your work or wherever you are, some people that are headed in one direction on the path to destruction, and people, I am going to follow Jesus, and they turn and start going the other way, there will be a gap between these two parties. This will make life awkward, and it will kind of make things filled with tension sometimes. And, but he's doing this in order to save some, in order that some might be saved, in order to call a people toward himself, to himself. So I'm going to try to use this visual aid this morning. I don't know if this will work or not. The wind may blow it over, but we're going to do our best and see how long it will stand up. So if I'm writing down, if I'm taking notes and writing things down, what I would write down at this point is that Jesus' baptism, I'm sure only about a quarter of you can see that, but this is the best I can do. Jesus' baptism is his sacrifice for his people. Okay, so I have his people over here that have made the decision to follow Jesus. And that means leaving the old way of life, their old path. So they've left their old way of life. They've repented because they know the judgment is coming. And now they're following Christ. So Jesus sacrificed. Jesus goes first through his baptism. He dies and rises again. I just lost my train of thought because I'm thinking I need Betsy to read and she's staying. Aren't outside services cool?
Yes.
Isn't this great?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. All right, so here we go. Jesus' baptism. Remember, this is so we can understand our baptism. It's such a crazy thing when we go out there and dunk people in the water. Jesus' baptism is his sacrifice for his people. Jesus goes first to call a people to himself that have repented and followed him. Okay? Now let's talk about our baptism. So, Betsy, if you'll read it to us from Romans chapter 6, where Paul, the Apostle Paul now, who's interpreting what Jesus did and helping the churches understand it, is talking about how in order to be part of the redeemed community, it's not about how much you're able to do, or it's not about all the good you're able to achieve, it's not about your pile of righteousness that you can stack up, but it is only and all about placing your hope and your faith in Christ and his death, burial, and resurrection. So the Apostle Paul will say, no matter how big, no matter how heinous, no matter how foul the pile of sins that you've accumulated is, God's grace is bigger and stronger and better than all of our sins. And what he knows people will say is, well, if that's true, then why don't we just keep on sinning because God will keep on forgiving? Why don't we just let God do what God's good at and forgive, and we do what we're good at and keep on sinning? And the Apostle Paul is answering that now with baptismal language. So I'd like us to think about that, hear that, as we're thinking about what our baptism means. So Betsy, Romans chapter 6, verse 1. Okay, so what did that just say? Remember, it starts out with, what should we say then? Should we go on in sin that grace may abound? That's the question. Like, if God's really, really, really good at forgiving, then why don't we just keep on sinning? And the answer is, because you were baptized, and because of what your baptism signifies. Now, what does it signify? Well, it says, don't you know that you died with Christ Jesus? So the picture is that at one time, you were living in your... were on the path that leads to destruction. You were ignoring God. The picture, like, of what you were before you were baptized. And then when you go underwater, so think of this as the water line, okay? When you go underwater, the picture is that you are dying with Christ. You're being buried with Christ. And so that means that's part of how your sins are forgiven. This, the picture that you died with Christ. And of course, baptism, if I just grab someone who didn't want to be baptized, didn't want to be saved, and I grab them and drag them out into the water and get the pile driver off the dock, you know, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that obviously would not save them. Baptism is a picture of what happens at your conversion. It's a picture of your belief and your faith that you died with Christ. So you go under the water, that's a picture of your death. And when you come, because it's an identification with Jesus' death on the cross and his burial. And then when you come out of the water, that is a picture of your resurrection to newness of life. And so what the Apostle Paul is saying is, you don't keep living like you did on the path that leads to destruction, because you died to that way of life, and now you're living the new way of life in Christ Jesus. Why, if you've died to that way of life, why would you go back and live like you're saved? How does that make any sense at all? He's saying, remember your baptism. Remember that you died, and remember that you've been raised again. Don't go back and live like a sinner like you used to. Live in continuity with your baptism, your death to sin, and now you're being raised to newness of life with Christ. So here's what we're saying. We're saying Jesus' baptism is his, symbolically, is his death, his sacrifice for his people, for their sins, to make people for himself. Our baptism is how we show our repentance. So we say, I have died with Christ. I'm raised to newness of life with Christ as we get baptized. Again, I don't think of baptism as something that I can coerce on you, or I think your baptism will only be significant if you believe that Jesus is your Lord and Savior. But baptism is the picture of that. It's how you identify with Christ. It's how you say, yes, I follow Jesus. And I identify, I believe he came and he died for my sins and rose again on the third day. Baptism is how we show our repentance. Now, where does that go? Okay, so now I need Betsy to go ahead. Romans chapter 12, verse 3, I believe. Okay, hold on. Now, what the Apostle Paul is about to do is to tell them what it means to be the people of God, what it means to be a church. And where he starts is, more highly than you ought. It makes it dangerous if we think we don't need the church. I tell you what, you know what would be helpful right now? I think it'd be helpful if we all stood up. Go ahead, everyone that's good with standing, go ahead and stand and turn around and just look at the lake. Okay, now what I hear quite often is, you know, I don't need to come to church because I meet with God out on the lake when I'm fishing. Anybody ever hear that before? Okay, they say, you know, I do better meeting with God out on the water by myself. And I just want to tell you, there's a lot of truth in that. I want to tell you that Jesus did something very much like that when he went up on the mountain and overlooking the Sea of Galilee, and he's up there praying and meeting with God. That is a great thing to do, and that is such a powerful deal, because a lot of people meet God in special ways when they're out in the wilderness by themselves. Okay, now turn back around and sit down. There's stuff that happens out on the water or out in the wilderness that probably doesn't happen in a big building with a lot of people. But there's stuff that happens when you're on the body of Christ that doesn't happen when you're out in the wilderness by yourself. I think we grow more like Christ. We meet Christ on our own. So there are times like out on the lake when we meet with God, when you're out hunting, when you're out hiking, whatever you do in the outside, when you're out by yourself. There's times when you meet God out there in a special way. There's truth in that. We grow on our own, but we also grow when we're together. We also need each other. So the Apostle Paul says, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought, but, okay, hold on, what was that word? Yeah, we have many members in one body. So don't think of yourself as a body of Christ all unto yourself. Like, I can do this Jesus thing by myself. I don't need anybody else. I'm good at doing, I can be a church just by myself. No, you think of yourself reasonably or soberly, and what that means is thinking of yourself as part of a body, part of a church. So see, there's that word again. Now I'm going to say church membership is important. Church membership is where we say, I am part of this body, and where the body says, you are part of us. Church membership is where the body identifies with you, and you identify with the body. Church membership is where the church identifies with us and says, you are part of us. You are a member of this body. And church membership is where we say, I am part of this church. This is why, and this question has come up a couple times in the last couple weeks, is aren't there age limits to membership? Well, if you're old enough to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, and you're old enough to get baptized, and you're old enough to be a church member, because we would identify with you and say, you are part of the body of Christ. We want to be united with you. And if you're old enough to say, I want to be part of this body, which is the church, then we want to be united with you. We want you in church membership. Now, you can't vote on stuff until you're older, but like, we're going to have some younger kids come into church membership today, which is fantastic, because they're saying, we want to be part of the church, and the church is saying to them, we want you to be part of us. So we think of church membership as being part of the body. So now what I'd like you guys to do is we are still moving in this direction, but now I'd like he read the passage he read. Paul said, there you go. Paul said, we need to max out our gifting. Okay, just leave it down. I'll get it in a minute. We need to max out our gifting. So if your gift is leadership, lead. If your gift is generosity, give. If your gift is hospitality, entertain. You know, whatever your gifting is, max it out. And so instead of being on the path that leads to destruction, we are the body of Christ, and we show as we participate with one another, as we work together in Christ's body. So, first next step that I would mention is you need to repent. This is kind of simple, kind of straightforward. That leads to destruction, get off it. Right? My thought is, well, a lot of these visual aids is, I just want you to come back and just wake back up. You know, when he flips a page, you're like, oh, I should wake up. I should see what's going on, you know? So it's okay. You're all awake. I can see you're all looking at me, so we're good. What was I saying? Okay, so the first next step is repent. So that's where we'd start. This is what Jesus' baptism was about. He's calling us to leave the path leads to destruction and be part of his body, which is the church. So if there's any of you that need to wrestle with this decision, need to pray about it, please stick around and talk to me afterwards, or one of the guys you saw collecting or receiving the offering. Feel free to talk to one of them. Second, we need to be baptized, because baptism is how we show our conversion. Okay? So we're going to do another baptismal service on September 27th. We'll be out here with the youth anyway. And so we already have a couple people that want to be baptized that evening. We're going to do another baptismal service on the 27th. Look, we're only baptizing 6 or 7 people this morning. There's a lot more of you that need to be baptized. So let's do another one. It's time to get baptized. Time to repent. Time to get baptized. Let's show our conversion. Let's show our repentance and following Jesus in baptism. Now, I say that, and some of you are like, well, I've already repented. I've already been baptized. Well, okay, great. Now live your baptism. Live in continuity with that. Live dead to sin and alive to Christ. Live in repentance. Live as the people of God. Third, join the church. Join to show, we want to identify with you. We want to say to you, you are part of this body. We want to say to you, you are part of the body of Christ. We identify with you. And we want you to say that to us, and then we want you to participate fully in this body, which is the church. We want you to go all in as we go all in with you. So repent, be baptized, join. Now, this is a problem. We still have people on the path that leads to destruction. The fourth point I want to talk about is be sure to invite someone to follow you into salvation. Invite someone to be saved. So, like, I need a volunteer to repent of the path that leads to destruction and go join those guys over there. Who would do that? Oh, they all?
All of us. Would you like to come
over?
Yeah.
All right. Like, you all volunteered. Go ahead. All of you can go over there. Okay, you go over there too. All right. Here's what we showed, okay? We just showed the kind of church we want to be. The kind of church that has repented, that is living in repentance, that is living dead to sin and alive to Christ, the kind of church that cares that people are on the path of destruction, that are lost and dying and going to hell, the kind of church that weeps and mourns over that, that wants people to be saved. This is the kind of church we are, and this is the kind of church we want to become more of. And this is so fantastic, because what we get to do today is celebrate these people saying, I am in Christ. I have died with Christ, and I have been raised with Christ. So look, when we baptize them, I want you to cheer like lunatics, because this is what we're about, is helping people repent and helping people come to Christ and helping people identify with Christ, believing that he came, believing that he died, believing that he lived in perfect obedience to the Father, rose again on the third day, believing this, owning it, living it, and wanting other people to know this same life and salvation. Let me pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time we can spend in your word. And Lord, we ask you to help us live in continuity with your life, with your death, and with your resurrection. Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Give our volunteers a hand.